Let us pray. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may become partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So early on, after I'd come to St. Thomas, I was excited to discover that St. Thomas has a popcorn machine. It was shoved way in the back of the ark. Maybe it was a little dirty, a little greasy, but it was there. And I really like popcorn. One of the great things about living in my home is that when I announce that I'm making popcorn and nothing else for dinner, no one says, "We can't have that for dinner." Instead, one of us usually says, "Well, popcorn's a whole grain, right?"
Yes.
Popcorn is usually consumed in front of a movie or an episode of Doctor Who or something. But often the movies are just an excuse to eat popcorn. And whoever it is that volunteers to cook a meal, the rest of us know that the only appropriate response is, "Thank you." So this is a little bit like what the disciples are struggling with in our gospel lesson today. You may remember the past few weeks, Jesus has been explaining over and over what it means to be the Messiah. It doesn't mean happy, easy things. Jesus has been predicting his betrayal and his death, and the disciples have been resisting that. First, Peter yelled at Jesus, and Jesus calmly explained that Peter was acting like Satan, thinking of his own comfort rather than God's intentions. Then the disciples got into an argument over who was the best, and Jesus told them that they had to be humble.
Yes.
Receptive, adaptable, like a little child, if they wanted to be great in God's kingdom. In today's reading, which is still part of the same story, John the Apostle tells of how the disciples rebuked someone else for performing an exorcism in Jesus' name because that person wasn't one of the 12. The disciples are still worried about their status as Jesus' special ones. And they're worried about someone else moving in on their turf. But again, Jesus responds in a way that they don't expect. Unlike many religious or institutional leaders, Jesus isn't worried about others crowding his territory. Jesus doesn't seem all that concerned about someone that doesn't know Jesus very well serving in Jesus' name. Maybe that's because even the disciples keep showing that they don't know Jesus very well at all either. Instead, Jesus suggests that anyone serving in his name, anyone doing deeds of power as mighty as exorcism of a demon, or as humble as serving a cup of water, is doing Jesus' work. Jesus welcomes all willing partners. Now, isn't it interesting in today's reading how the defining characteristic of someone who is serving Jesus and will be rewarded for that is not someone who is performing religious ceremonies? It's not even someone who believes all the right things. And it's definitely not someone who's performing great deeds of self-denial or performing miracles. There's a wide range of people whom Jesus acknowledges as his followers, and the thing that they all have in common is that they are all busy about the work of serving others. They are healing others. They are nursing others. They are comforting others. They are engaged in works of justice and mercy and kindness. And they are acting in humility. Now, the disciples themselves have been having some trouble with that humility part. So here's what the rest of the passage is doing, right? Jesus warns his disciples that they are their own stumbling blocks. The things that keep you and others from God, says Jesus, are not the words and actions of others. The problem is the attitudes within yourself. Your pride, your desire to have status, your wish to be exclusive and partisan and exalted in your service to Jesus, that is precisely what keeps you from drawing close to Jesus at all. So Jesus tells a parable, as he does throughout Mark, warning his disciples that drastic action is needed if they wish to be his followers. To be the Messiah means to be betrayed, to die, and to rise again. And likewise, being a follower of the Messiah means cutting off those things in your life that are holding you back, the stumbling blocks that prevent you from drawing close to God. Now, Jesus is telling an emphatic story meant to be shocking. He's not instructing his disciples to harm themselves physically, but he is drawing a very apt comparison. If you are diabetic, if you have an aggressive cancer, if you have an untreated injury that is now becoming gangrenous, there comes a time when to save your life, some drastic surgical option might become necessary. Or to offer a slightly less visceral and completely as relevant metaphor, are you willing to give up salt, butter, red meat, if that's what it takes to keep your heart pumping and to keep your blood pressure down?
Yes.
Whatever it is inside you that is preventing you from drawing close to God, it's time for you to decide which you value more, that aspect of your mortal life or God's promise for eternity. Looking around, I want to remember another beautiful illustration of this would be recovery groups and 12 steps and the decisions that they make, no?
Yep.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to start talking about stewardship in earnest. And there's another whole category of things, of stumbling blocks and clearing out the blockages. And that reminds me of the rich young ruler who asked Jesus and was confirmed in what he already knew, that it was his relationship with wealth that was preventing him from achieving his goal of life in God's kingdom. And that struggle, like so many others, seems endemic in our world. Now, our gospel reading tonight concludes with some brief words about salt. Salt and fire are purifying agents. They clean the wounds. They stop the bleeding. They make survival more likely. They're also useful for making popcorn. Now, salt, in this case, as it's being used in our gospel reading, might be an awareness of my own sinfulness, my own inadequacies, my own ego, my own stumbling blocks. Because when I'm aware of my own problems, then I'm a lot less likely to call out someone else for their problems. And when we're all aware of our own stumbling blocks, we're a lot more likely to live in peace and forbearance with one another, which is kind of what Jesus wishes. That other person serving Jesus may not be doing it just right. But then again, you can bet that I'm not doing it just right either. And so maybe there's room enough in this town for the two of us. But even this kind of salt of self-awareness, I think that probably needs to be used in moderation too. I have a little bit of a reputation for putting too much salt on popcorn. Sometimes others who have a lower tolerance might just stop eating it. But I have to say, popcorn with no salt is just useless.
Yes.
And so the salt of moderate self-criticism is that little tang that helps us to recognize and to remember God's grace to us. That's what enables us to be conduits of God's grace to others. We don't always welcome salt and fire in our lives. We would prefer to live without them. But still they come. And so when they do, I want to invite you to remember their redeeming qualities. Salt and fire often cleanse us of the things by which we resist God's grace. Thus, they can help to enable us to begin to taste, even today, the eternal life that is God's sure promise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.